Take your Bible and turn to Luke 12. I want us to read together from verse 13 through verse 21. I'll read a verse and then you read a verse. Let's stand as we read the Word of God. If you have a King James Bible, read along with us. If you don't, look ashamed and get one. Amen. Look at verse 13. I'll start. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
And he made a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully.
And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.
And he said, This is what I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods.
And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
But God said unto him, Thou art fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then shall I sing to thee, which thou hast provided.
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word we have in our hands, the truth that's there, the peace, the confidence, the assurance. We thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for this group that's gathered together to worship and to praise you. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I ask you that the Holy Spirit might bless this word to each of our lives. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm only going to start with one verse, verse 15, and I'll come back and end up with the rest of the story, the parable. But here's what verse 15 has to say. He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Covetousness is a strong desire. And Americans have made it an art form. We have really glorified covetousness. We have so much that even people who are on welfare live better than most of the people that have ever lived in the world and most of the people that are in the world today. Around the world. We think that a man's life consists of what he can buy. Isn't that the truth? I was talking to Brother Palmer from Papua New Guinea. As you know, he's older and he's retired and but he just went back and gave the New Testament that he worked on for 50 years. He went into this tribe in New Guinea. He learned their language. He wrote their language down. He taught them to read it. He translated the New Testament into it, and it's just been completed. How about a 50-year work to get somebody the Word of God? Huh? That's beautiful, and they're a very sweet couple. He told me that recently some of his believers were mad at him and the other missionaries. They said, You come and tell us about Christ, and that's good. But you keep the secret of how Americans are so rich. Covetousness in Papua New Guinea. Covetousness in the church, in believers in the church. You're holding back this wealth that you have. You have been raised in the wealthiest country that's ever been. You can get almost anything you want. You can drive a Cadillac if you don't want to have a nice house. You can have a nice house if you don't want to drive a Cadillac. We have clothes. We have things. We have entertainment. Do you realize only kings and rich people could get anywhere near the kind of entertainment all of us get on a regular basis? We have so much. And I remember that the comedians, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, I think it was Jerry Lewis, bought 7 Cadillacs, one for each day. You can only drive one of them at a time. You ever thought about that? You can only sleep in one bedroom at a time. Some of you ladies are just gaudy with jewelry. And some of you don't have anything at all, you know. But what does your life consist of? Is what you think about life the things? We do, mostly. And our garages are full. Brother Dale, he was a Depression kid. I'm a Depression kid, but a little younger than him. I didn't hit it so hard as he did. He had a hard time throwing anything away. Bless his kids' hearts when he died. They had dump trucks going to the dump. Because he'd saved all this stuff. You know? Well, depression, you saved everything. You used everything. Now, I've never eaten a pig's foot. But do you know they ate pig's feet? Some people eating pig's feet today. My folks used everything. They didn't throw away bottles. They put them under the house to be used whenever they wanted to. Covetousness. It's a desire for things. And he said, beware of it. Several reasons why you ought to beware of it. It will take your mind off God. You'll be so busy making money that your life will just pass by. And all of a sudden you'll wake up and you've forgotten God. It'll take your mind off your family. I know people that work so hard for money, they hardly have time to see each other. It'll take your mind off of family. It'll take your mind off eternity. You can get so busy working one job, two jobs, or everybody I've ever known that owned their own business, every one of them that I can think of that owned their own business, they didn't work a 40-hour week. They worked an 80 or 100-hour week. And if it's all to get money to buy junk, it's covetousness. Now, I think you ought to have what you can have. I believe you ought to get an education or you ought to get training in something. You might be better off to become a welder and air conditioning man in the future, I don't know, than a college graduate because of the expense that it is. But in my daddy's day, it didn't even matter if you had a high school diploma. It did by the time he died. But it didn't matter when he was young. And in my day, you needed a college education. That was an advantage. And my daddy wanted me to go to college so bad because he was passed over in things he was better at because he just didn't have a diploma. Never finished the 12th grade. He went to the 10th. We want a house. We want food. We want to be able to buy clothes. We want to give to our children and our family the things that they need. But you know, it's a fine line there. Are you really working for your family? Are you working for your boss? Are you working for God? And he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now that's not the American way. Our American way is he who has the most toys wins. That's the game we're playing. And we compare our motorcycles with somebody else's motorcycle. We compare our car with somebody else's car. Somebody gets a new car and we're jealous all of a sudden of all the dirt that's still in mine. You know, you got to shovel them out every once in a while. Sort of like you get married and you think you're going to live on love. And then you find out somebody has to wash a dish. You can't live on love alone. You got to have a dishwasher too. Got to have somebody to cook and clean and wash clothes and do a lot of things. Everybody needs a wife. Even wives need wives. I'm talking about servants, okay? Turn with me to Exodus, the 20th chapter, and let's look at the law. Do you realize that the law was given to a bunch of slaves? Freed slaves. They walked across the Red Sea and got freedom. God destroyed the army that was against them. And they walked into a new land, but these were not people that were on top of the world. These were slaves. They've been slaves all their lives. There was nobody there that had been free. They'd all died out. You know, everybody that walked out of that land was a slave, had been a slave. In the Ten Commandments, the tenth commandment says, verse 17, Exodus 20, 17. I'm sorry, I probably didn't give that to you. Exodus 20, 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. God gives this to a bunch of people that have been slaves, not Americans, with all of our wealth and riches and freedom and tremendous, tremendous abundance in everything you want. You go to HEB, they got food from around the world. You can get oranges any time of the year. Why? Well, they grow them in Chile or someplace like that. Might be growing them in China, I'm not sure. We have such abundance. Now, he's telling these slaves, and talking about covetousness, he said, you don't look at your neighbor's wife and desire her. It's your neighbor's wife. You don't look at your friend's husband and desire him. It's your friend's husband. You don't go try to hire their workers out from under them, their manservant or their maidservant. In fact, I don't care how beautiful his horse is, you don't covet his horse or his jackass. You don't covet anything that is your neighbor's. That's what he's explaining here, and that's the law. Well, now why in the world would we have to give a law like that? Because of how we are. I have a dog and a cat now. And my dog is a blue heeler, and he's active. And he's obedient, but I have to put him under obedience in order to feed the little cat. Because he wants to run over and eat the cats before he gets his. That's just like you. Isn't that right? It's not only a dog's nature, it's not only a horse's nature, it's not only an animal's nature, it's human nature. It's not just human nature for Americans. I pick on you because we are Americans. I'm picking on myself at the same time. But here's a bunch of slaves. And God has to set down a law saying, don't covet anything that belongs to somebody else. You don't need it. Well, let me show you some verses in the Bible about covetousness. If you'll turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, and verse 27. There's several verses in Proverbs that just fit this. Verse 27, Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. Wow. Well, have you ever seen it? They got all the money they need. They got a great house. They got great cars. They've got everything they could possibly desire. And they split up. Why did they split up? Money doesn't answer everything. Money doesn't buy everything. And money cannot bring you the happiness you think it can. We all think, oh, if I could just win the lottery. You realize your chances of being struck by lightning are better than your chances of winning the lottery? That's the truth. If you won the lottery, people have studied winners. It's generally a ruination of the family. Their lives go to pot. Oh, they had the money. They could buy this. They could buy that. My wife had a relative, an uncle. And he was just a poor dirt farmer here in Texas. They discovered oil on his land. Made him wealthy. But as his kids grew up, they began to fight over who was going to control the money and what they were going to do. And he said in his old age, I wish they'd never discovered oil on my land. Why? Covetousness. It says right here, you're greedy, you're going to bring trouble to your family. Do you realize how much we do affects our children? And what we live for, believe it or not, I know your kids say, I don't want to dress like you, and they hang their pants down off their butt. And they think that's cute. It's the stupidest thing I can see. Well, no, I think tattooing your face or all over you, that's pretty stupid too. But when they get about 35 years old, they're going to be like you. They're going to fight on the same things you fight about. They're going to argue about the same things you argue about. They're going to be miserable just like you're miserable. And if all you're doing is working to get gain, to get rich, and every one of us have dreamed of it. He says you trouble your own house. Now that's the wisdom of Proverbs. Let's look at another proverb. Proverbs 23:4-5. Labor not to be rich. Don't we all think of that? I thought of it. I was going to get rich in hotels and motels. I was going to drive a big rig till I got one paid off, and then I was going to buy another one and let them both pay them off. You know, I was going to get rich. And it was at the time that there weren't many motels and hotels. They come on. I had the right idea at the right time. But I never got rich. Labor not to be rich. Mr. Daniel Newman was going to be a millionaire before he was 21. He didn't make it. And actually, he's blessed that he didn't. Now, I'm not knocking you if you have money. I'm proud for you if you've got it and you're loaded and you can buy anything you want. You don't have any needs. But bless your heart, there's a danger. There's a danger. And the danger is, labor not to be rich. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Hey, when you get the money, it's hard to keep the money. Especially if you had a wife and five kids like me. Took me two jobs just to keep us fed. Wow! Do you know I actually own everything I have now? Everything. Even my hammers. I own my hammers. I own my bedroom set. I own my car. I own my house, my land. Hey, I own my clothes. I'm rich, and yet I don't have a whole lot of money. I don't live on a whole lot of money each month either. But you know what? I feel rich. Do you know that on the 19th of this month, which is next Wednesday, my wife and I will have been married 59 years. Wow. You don't know all the differences between the two of us. Wow! You talk about a miracle! Wow! That we could make it that long? Wow! We've had to compromise, both of us, a whole lot of things. She's nuts about half the time. She's listening. I love her. That's how we made it. With a lot of forgiveness, with a lot of reasonableness, with a lot of compromise, with a lot of working for the family and to keep the family together and to build it right. Money has wings. Do you know that? One time, I'd worked hard over Christmas holidays at school, made a lot of money, and went out on a big date. Spent it all. My daddy, he always had the way of asking me questions that I hated to answer. He said, "What do you got to show for it?" Nothing. What do you got to show for it? It's all gone. You worked all that time for that one date? Yeah, I did. Was it worth it? You ever thought about that? You ought to think about that. What have you got left after you've spent that money, and is it worth what you spent it on? You know, your garage is full of stuff that isn't worth it. Your closets are full of stuff that weren't worth it. We love to spend money, and we love to buy things, and we are caught by every advertisement. And do you know all the advertisements are lies? They are professional liars. And they work on your covetousness. Don't you want this new car? It's better than that car. And by the way, if you don't get it this week, you'll miss it. Like they're running out of cars. They're not running out of cars. They're just working on your covetousness and what you think. Oh, that's a big deal. They charge you several hundred dollars more than it should be, and they tell you it's a big deal. They're working on your covetousness. Money flies away, and it doesn't take long to fly away. It flies away like an eagle up to the heavens. Look at Proverbs again, chapter 30. Verse 8. Proverbs 38. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Now, this is not a teaching. This is a prayer. It's a prayer to God. Give me neither poverty nor riches. That's the blessed place. You want the blessed place? I don't like being poor. I wouldn't want poverty. I don't want poverty for you. But bless your heart, I'm really afraid of riches. I am afraid of riches. I've known some rich people. I've been friends with some rich people. And money is a problem. It's always a problem. It will steal your time from your home. It will steal your time from God. And you might be making the wrong decision to go to that next job that's going to take you away from a good church just to make a little more money. Give me neither poverty nor riches. That's wisdom. Not down on the poverty level, but not in the rich level either. He said, if I'm rich and I'm full, I might deny the Lord. Say, "Who's the Lord? I don't need the Lord." I've heard people tell me that. "I've got this much money. I've got this job. I've got this business. I don't need the Lord." I was preaching a revival meeting in Louisiana. And the pastor and I went by to see a couple of his members. They were mechanics. And they were working what looked like out of a house. But they had two or three cars around there, and they were greased up and working and whatever. And so the pastor said, "We got a revival meeting this week, guys. We need you to come. Bring your families. We need you to come." "Well, you know, preacher, we're just so busy. We're just so busy." He said, "Really, guys, you need to think about this. This is revival time in your members of this church, and you need to come. You need to bring your families. They need to be under the hearing of the gospel." "Well, preacher, we've just got so much business." And that pastor, I love him to this day. He didn't dress in a nice suit, because I was in a suit too in those days. Hot Louisiana weather and we're wearing suits, crazy. He got on his knees in his suit pants, right on that floor of that garage, and said, "Lord, take away their business." No, preacher. "We'll be there." He said, "They got too much business to serve you. Take away their business." No, don't pray like that, preacher. "We'll be there." And they were. You think covetous had any problem in that household? Oh, I believe it did. I believe it did. "Give me neither poverty nor riches." That'd be a pretty good prayer for you to put up on your refrigerator. That'd be one to put inside your car where you see it just every once in a while. "Give me neither poverty nor riches." You don't need either one of those. If you're poor, you might deny the Lord. If you're rich, you might deny the Lord. One way or the other. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. Here is a truth that I think you'll recognize. I love the Bible because it just states truth plain. I hate preachers to complicate the Word of God. I hate for them to try to think they can redefine all of the Bible and make it smooth and easy and not hurt anybody's feelings. Let me tell you something. What? If you say, "I am a Christian and Christ is the only way," you have automatically offended most of the world. You ever thought about that? All you got to do is say, "I am a Christian. Christ is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You just offended the majority of the world. You cannot be a good Christian without offense. Don't kid yourself. You stand up for Christ in your family, some of them are going to turn against you. You stand up for Christ in your church, some of them are never going to come back. But you need to stand up. Because if you don't stand up, some of them will never get saved. They'll never be confronted. They'll never be mad enough to think about the Bible. They'll never be angry enough as I was to read the Bible so I could shut that preacher's mouth. And when I read the Bible, it shut my mouth very quickly. Notice verse 10. "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver." Have you ever thought about that? What is it you love? You love guns? Did the last one satisfy you? No. You'll have to buy another one. And when you buy that one, it won't satisfy you. You'll have to buy another one. Hey, you love cars? The last one you bought? Oh, you bought that new car. Oh, you are so proud of that new car. Did it satisfy you? No. You'd like to have another one. You'd like to get one every year. You'd like, instead of a Ford, to have a Cadillac or a Lincoln. They once asked John D. Rockefeller, I'm not knocking him, I believe he was a Christian man. He was just in the day of the big, big rich people that made their own monopolies and whatever. But he had convictions that he stood by. He didn't drink, he didn't smoke, he didn't gamble, and a shake of your hand was what he needed for a business deal. When he was older, he would go through the streets throwing out pennies. Now that might be like throwing out $5 today. At least a dollar or two. I'm not sure about the exchange. But a dime bought a whole lot more back in 1900. He's throwing dollars. He's throwing pennies. Dimes out the window, and the people would rush to get the dimes. Somebody asked him, said, he was the richest man in the world. The richest man in all the world at that time. And they said, how much is enough? The richest man in the world. How much is enough, Mr. Rockefeller? He said, a little more. A little more. You don't ever get enough. He that desires silver will not be satisfied with the silver. Doesn't work out that way. Because of our nature, the greediness of our nature, the covetousness of us. Take a look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Why is God interested in your treasure? That's where your heart is, and God wants your heart. He doesn't want your heart to be on silver. He doesn't want your heart to be on riches. He does not want you lusting after cars and houses and diamonds and jewels and guns and crystal and whatever. He wants your heart. And the problem is, in fact, one time Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? Amen. They don't think they need God. You can get so rich and so full and so satisfied, you don't need to pray. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to pray when you're not hurting. When you don't have somebody in your family sick, sometimes it's hard to pray. It just seems like you're going through motions. When you got somebody sick, you got somebody hurting, maybe it's that little child you got, and they're in a hospital bed and the doctor's giving you a lot of bad vibes. Oh, you can pray then. Boy, you can cry then. Boy, you can get emotional then. Where your heart is. Where your heart is. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Let me ask you something. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Pardon me. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? Do you have any? You say, how am I going to do that? Well, the average church might say give to the church. I would say give to the preaching of the Word of God, like missionaries. Have you noticed that little announcement back there over the offering plate? 78% of the money that came to this church last year went to missions. And our missionaries preach the gospel and build churches. They don't just run things from somebody else. They build churches wherever they go. I'm proud of them. I support every one of them every month. And I have since they went out. Bible says, give to the poor. It's like lending to the Lord. Give to the poor, and the Lord will pay it back like it was a loan. Isn't that amazing? Go out and knock on some doors. Go out and pass out some tracts. Go tell your family about Jesus. Start a Sunday school in your neighborhood. Start a Bible study in your neighborhood. Do something spiritual for eternity, and you'll have treasure in heaven. I've had friends that I knew well that when they were poor, they gave generously to the church. At least a tithe, they're better. And when they got rich, they couldn't find money to give. You better beware of covetousness. Isn't that amazing? When they were poor, yeah, they could give their 10% or better. And when they got rich, it was too much to give 10%. You ought to be giving 20 or 30%. You ought to be thinking, what about the future? Now let me ask you, if you were thinking, would you want a retirement? Would you like to have a retirement in your job package that what you're working for, that when you get as old as me, you don't have to put out that work anymore? That's pretty nice. You know, retirement's pretty good. They told me to save for college. I had 5 kids and a wife, and I pastored churches. I didn't have any money to save for college. But I got all my kids in college. 3 of them graduated, 1 of them with 2 degrees. And the others had some college. They quit on their own for their own reasons. I told them, if you stay home, I'm not sending you off to New Mexico or New York or someplace else where you can go off and have a party time. You can stay right here in this house. You can eat right here. You can wash your clothes right here. I'll help you fix your car right here. You can work at a part-time job, and we'll get you through college. I didn't have any money to save that way. And by the way, when I first got saved, I started tithing. As I studied my Bible, I saw the Jews were commanded by law to give 10% a tithe to their temple, to their priests. And it hit me one day, if a Jew would give 10% under law, why shouldn't a Christian give 20% under grace? You can give. And this is a giving church. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of your generosity. I love to give an evangelist the biggest offering he ever had in his life. You know what most churches do? They set aside a little amount. He's going to get this right here. And you can give whatever you want to give. Doesn't make any difference. You're not going to change that. But here you can give where you wanted to give. You can give to the missionary you want to support. You can give to the evangelist you want to support. You can give to the pastor you want to support. Do you have any control? Yeah. Your money. Your feet. You vote for us when you come and when you give, and you vote against us when you leave and don't give. Covetousness. Wow, what could we do if we were all interested in treasure in heaven? Well, I've got one more little verse before I go back. Look, if you will, at Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. Let your conversation, and that means your whole manner of life, be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. Now, most of you think he's talking about being content with the car you have, the house you have, the wife you have, the husband you have, the children you have, the hair you have, the face you have. Notice what he finishes with. For he has said, who has said? God. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what you got, Christian? You got something better than money. You got something better than a lottery. You got something better than inherited riches. You got something you can't lose. You got something that's so valuable it's bigger than every prize the world has to offer. Jesus said, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What a promise. You talk about a heritage. You became a Christian and you got a heritage. We have disappointed God so many times in so many ways. And yet He has not deserted us. Oh, He spanked us sometime, let us go through some hard times, given us a great deal of disappointment, trying to bring us back into a relationship with God. Be content. With what? Well, you ought to be content pretty much with what you've got. But that's not really what He's talking about. Be content with this. God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't care if you're in a prison, He's with you. If you're in a hospital bed, He's with you. If you're mourning because of the loss of a loved one, He's with you. If you're broken down in body, He's with you. And one of these days, maybe sooner for me than for you, we're going to step up and just meet Jesus. And we'll say, hello, Lord, and fall on our faces dead because of the greatness of Him. Now go back to the original text. This rich man was a rich man already. And wow, did he have a year. He had such abundance and such goods that he decided to build bigger barns just to take care of it. Now, on the surface, there's nothing wrong with any farmer building bigger barns. Nothing wrong about that. Nothing wrong about being successful in business and having a great year. Well, that's a whole lot better than having a bad year. So I said to my soul, verse 19, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. This man was a wise man. This man planned. This man worked hard. This man was able to preserve his wealth. This man was preparing to protect everything. What did he do wrong? He left God out. He's got everything covered but God. He said, I've got much goods laid up for many years. I'm going to retire. Eat, drink, and be merry. I don't have to work again. I don't have to labor. I don't have to strive. I've made it. And there's a voice from heaven. Thou fool. Thou fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. He's going to die that night. He's got all these goods laid up. He's got all this money. And he's planning on many years of enjoying what he worked for. Have you ever known anybody in their teens that died? I have. One of my good friends, right out of high school, he was 18 years old. He went to work on what used to be the old Coliseum out there, and he fell from the rafters. Died at 18. Had another friend, he was 19. He was in the Navy. He was riding his motorcycle coming back from Corpus to San Antonio to visit, have a good time, whatever, with all of his old buddies. He didn't make it. I had a friend that took my run in the service and blew up and died 11 days later right here in San Antonio in the burn ward. And that was the one that really woke me up, because he took my run on my day that I was called for and I couldn't take it. My run, my truck, my job. And he blew up and died, and I would have done the same things he did. And he woke me up. Hey, 22-year-olds can die. You may not get to be 70. You may not get to be 90 or 100. You may not make it to 30. What'd God say about that? He said, thou fool. You've made all your plans and left me out? How foolish can that be? Do you know there's a God? Are you one of these evolutionists that you think this all just happened? It was just something smaller than an atom that exploded and created all of this universe? Well, where'd that one little thing come from anyway? There's a God. You know why people don't like the idea of God? Because that means there's a judgment. That means you were born with a purpose. That means you're going to die and meet the great judge of all the world. And he's going to examine what you've done. Now let me ask you something this morning. What does your life consist of? Here's this man. A man asked Jesus, divide the property, get my brother to divide the property with me. He said, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. Okay? If your life does not depend, does not live for what you possess. Take everything out of the thing. Your car, your house, your furniture, your bank account, your retirement. Just take all of that out. You don't possess it anymore. What is your life given to? Work? Well, that don't last so long. Family? I know some people put their family above God. I think that's a dangerous thing to do. I've seen it done. I've hurt for some people. What do you live for? Well, you ought to live for God. If you only have today, what will you do with it? Any one of us. Shoot, I'm 77 years old. I could die any minute. I thought I'd have been dead long before now. I sure didn't think I was going to live this long. What is your relationship with God? Are you seeking His face? Are you serious about serving Him? Have you thought about this 70-odd years, maybe 20 years, maybe 100? Have you thought about eternity? Have you thought about God and heaven? And listening to His voice, lay up treasure for yourself? Let me ask you this. If you only have today to live, what would you do with it? Well, let me tell you what there's time enough for. There's time enough for reflection. You can think this through. You're alive today. You can think this through. There's time enough for repentance. Oh, yeah. Repentance doesn't even take that long. I'm sorry, God, I blew it. Boy, have we blown it. Lots of ways. All of us could repent, and maybe all of us should repent. In fact, when you become a Christian, you start a life of repentance. Now, you may have gotten away from that. Well, you're not acting much like a Christian because repentance is what we do. We're not perfect. Sunday school lesson was about that. We don't keep the law to stay saved. We're saved by grace. We're saved as a gift. If you could lose it any way, you would. God gave you eternal life and you can't stop it. But you can sure let Him down and you can sure let yourself down and you can let your wife and your kids down or your husband and your kids down and you can let the church down and you can repent. I might be talking, I know I've gone over. I might be talking to someone who's not saved. I don't know, you may think you're a member of this church, you may be regular and faithful, but today God pressed upon your mind, you're not saved, and you need to repent and get saved. Well, that's how you get saved, you repent. And believe that Jesus died in your place, and that He loves you so much He wants to give you eternal life. Heavenly Father, touch hearts and lives. Have Your way in each of us. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.